The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
Hoop Ballers! Yes, welcome back. You know what it means when I do a little bit more of a quiet intro. That means that it's Football Friday. I'm recording this for the weekend, so you're waking up early, so I don't want to yell your ear off. I can't even call it Football Friday this week because I'm getting to this podcast at about 2 a.m. in the Midwestern part of Oklahoma / America. Central Standard, for those of you who keep track. I'm DALE007, or in real life, Devin Ellington. Like I said, this is going to be a Football Friday weekend breakdown. Going to talk about every single college football game. I'm so excited. There's some really great matchups. And every single NFL game. Not so excited because this card's weird this week. So keep your peepers open. I wouldn't be able to open your peepers without this sponsor that I'm going to talk about. And that is Manscaped. Manscaped. They just put out the Lawnmower 3.0. Fully electronic, full-on waterproof technology. Get in the shower, get the job done, mow the yard, mow the lawn. But before you do that, you use HOOPBALL20 as your promo code. HOOPBALL20. You do that and you receive free shipping. You get 20% off. And that's that. That's how that goes. So yeah, Manscaped, manscaped.com. At Manscaped on Twitter. HoopBall20 is the promo code. And remember, guys, we are a hoop-ball.com presentation. Speaking of which, the College Football Week 7 Best Bets article that I wrote is up and ready for you to read. Got three matchups that I broke down. There's this, you know, a few games this week, you know, that got canceled by COVID. Speaking of which, let's go ahead and get those out of the way. Let you know what games are what and what games are non-existent. So I talked about Vandy and Mizzou early in the week. So that was postponed. Southern Miss and UTEP, Florida International and Charlotte. Oh, I was so ready to back Charlotte in this game. LSU, Florida, which, I mean, a lot of people have probably heard about that one. That was the big groundbreaking one because the SEC conference is the god of football or something. Don't get me started. And then Cincinnati and Tulsa. That was going to be another great game. So we got some postponements, but hey, that's 2020. That's this year, you know, that's what we are dealing with, and we just kind of got to buckle up and deal with it. At least we have college football. So I'll say that again. At least we have college football. At least we get to indulge and enjoy this glorious sport. I mean, it's probably my favorite sport to talk about, to cover, and to just gush over. I've always loved college football as a little kid. So at least we have college football. So, you know, keep that in mind. Talked about the hoop-ball.com affiliation, the presentation. I want to point out, though, very blatantly that the, you know, off-season for this basketball season is going to be very short, which means the off-season for fantasy basketball season is going to be very short. And I know a good amount of our listeners have stemmed from the HoopBall family. So I'm talking to you guys and gals specifically. Get your news from Dan Bespris and Aaron Bruschi. These guys are so good at what they do. That's the reason I'm here, talking about college football and betting on the Chanticleers. By the way, Wednesday night. Because I joined a fantasy basketball league. I started listening to Dan and Aaron, and I took their fantasy basketball advice. I was successful. And then the interaction and the personal friendliness that, you know, happened after that, it just kind of stemmed something. So get your fantasy takes from them, from us. We're all under the same family and umbrella. And if you have a favorite NBA team, just look up on Twitter, HoopBall Heat, HoopBall Nets, HoopBall Hawks, HoopBall Clips. Man, that show is probably popping off right now a lot because of the Ty Lue hiring. Shout out to BD Marcus. Great contributor for us. We're just full of great contributors, and it's so great. It's just wonderful to be a part of. But enough about those guys. Let's talk about me a little bit, y'all. I'm just kidding. I'm not that vain. But just a little bit. You know, hey, so we've talked about Tally Site here on the show. You've probably seen me tweet it out. They're an affiliate of ours. If you're familiar with the Action Network, if you're familiar with any kind of pick database or a platform that puts, you know, pros against other pros, Tally Site's no different. You know, I've enjoyed my interaction with them, and it's really made me compete and dig into my research for this college football season. Humble brag here, guys, but I am top 10 out of, right now, 300 professional analysts on Tally Site. So, I mean, that is a huge honor in itself. I mean, I'm going against guys that host SB Nation podcasts. I'm going against guys that, you know, the gentleman that hosts BYU, you know, Locked On Cougars with the Locked On Network. If you listen to podcasts like I do, I mean, Locked On was some of the first podcasts I stumbled across when I was trying to find direct team content. So, again, it's an honor. And guys and gals, it's an honor for me to be able to do this podcast and to break it down for you. This Friday football thing, you know, it's probably one of my more favorite things to do. I get to talk about, you know, just random college football games, and it's a joy. It really is. It really, really is. And, you know, I had a couple listeners reach out to me on Twitter tonight, again, at DALE007 or at HoopBall Gaming. Reach out to me tonight and, you know, hey, is there going to be a Football Friday weekend content episode? What's better than a show who is dedicated to their listeners, who gives you results and winners, who doesn't pick old chalk, and then they also take into account what their listeners say? You know, I fully intended on doing the Football Friday episode for this weekend, but the fact that I had people reach out and specifically ask for it, that, you know, not to sound cheesy and cliche and all up in my feelings, but I loved it. You know, that I feel that I work hard at this, and I appreciate everything, guys. So that's it. That's all. That's all there is. To get off my soapbox and my, you know, opening soliloquy, as Shakespeare would call it, let's talk some football, because we have some really phenomenal games, to be quite frank. I mean, we would have had a lot more if COVID wasn't happening, but that is what's going on in our everyday database, and we have to take that into account. That is now a factor in our gambling. You have to stay diligent no matter what your situation is. You have to find the value and you've got to lock your conviction in. That's just the way it is right now, folks. And we'll get over it. We'll get past it together or not. I don't know. I mean, I'm no Nostradamus. But, you know, find the games you want to bet on. That's the way it goes. That's truly all it is. So let's go ahead and start. Man, we got some 11 a.m. kickoffs over here in the central time elements of the American time layout. I'm going to talk about this game first, and it is the most dynamic matchup of the 11 o'clock kickoffs for my time zone, because that's the only one that matters. Oh, man, you're going to think I'm crazy. Liberty Flames versus Syracuse Orange. First and foremost, Mr. DeVito is not starting for Syracuse. They have their backup quarterback in. They also are down their All-American NFL draft prospect safety. He suffered an injury late last game, decided to opt out for the rest of the year to rehab and then also train for the NFL draft. You've heard me talk about this Liberty team a couple of times, probably just as much as the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers. I've been pretty damn good with the Chanticleers, if I must pat my own back and toot my own horn and tune my own radio. I've been pretty dang good with the Liberty Flames also. And they were in my first looks article on hoop-ball.com. And I got Liberty at -2.5. That's where it's at now, but it swelled up to 4. It's gone down to 3.5. It's just, you know, the market is seeing a Power 5 ACC team going against Liberty. First of all, who the you know what is Liberty? That's what they're thinking. But I know about Liberty. And if you've listened to the podcast, you do too. This team is in a great spot right here to gain some national exposure. They just made that jump up from FCS to FBS within the last couple of years. They have Hugh Freeze as the head coach, who used to coach in the SEC. The athletic director has completely turned not only the football program around, but basketball, baseball, gymnastics, and they are competing in so many ways. Liberty's 4-0 in the year, so they're looking for obviously their best start as an FBS team to get to that 5-0 mark. Liberty's going on the road. Liberty is the road favorite against a Power 5 ACC team. This could be the game that gets Dino Babers, the Syracuse head football coach, fired or extensively increases the temperature of which is producing under his metallic seat, I might say. You know, Liberty... Like, sure, okay, they're a smaller school. So, like, you know, the last game they played, they mollywopped University of Louisiana Monroe, which everyone has because they're 0-5. They played Northern Alabama, whatever. I think that was a fill-in game because they were supposed to originally play someone different, but the COVID and, you know, redoing the schedule and all that. But, you know, opening weekend, they beat Western Kentucky. They beat Florida International. You know, they were 14-point dogs against Western Kentucky and went ahead and beat them straight up by 6. So, you know, like this team is very, very capable. Not to mention they have like 20 returning starters on both sides of the ball. They have a dynamic running back duo group in the backfield. They have a competent quarterback. They have a damn good head coach, in my opinion. Say what you want about the sanctions. He took this job and he's looking to build an FBS program. And I commend him for that. So Moving on from this game, I know I got a little long-winded on it, but it is one of my favorite games this week. When this line first dropped, I snagged it so hard. So Liberty minus two. Over-under for you who are interested. 54.5 right now. It opened at 56.5. I think that's probably because at the beginning of this line being opened, DeVito was questionable. He was officially ruled out, and he'll miss a couple weeks probably. So Syracuse, again, rolling their backup QB out there. Second game, KU. And for those of you who are not from the middle of America, and I got to, you know, reprogram my brain, KU stands for Kansas University. They're going to Morgantown to play West Virginia. They're 22.5 point dogs. It opened at 23. I went ahead and took the 22.5 over under 48.5. It's dropped 3 points from 51.5. I'm going to be real brief with this one. Look up Kansas University's pass defense statistics. They're top 10 in the country right now as far as pass defense. So if this doesn't cover, it's going to be because West Virginia finds something on the ground and they run for at least 250 yards. But I don't think they're going to get a lot done through the air. And I think they're going to force the issue through the air because they're at home and they want to ooh and ah and wow and fireworks. And look for them to come out and make a lot of mistakes. Maybe in the first half, I'm saying maybe two. Kansas has an aggressive back end. So keep that in mind. Then I'm just going in random here. Just going random. If I see an 11 a.m. kick, we're going to talk about it first. Auburn, South Carolina, minus three to the Tigers, over under 53.5. South Carolina is the home team, so they're getting 3 points as a home dog. Over under 53.5. It was 50 at opening bell. You know, no true opinion. You don't have to talk about or bet every game. So if this is a game that you're excited about, I'm sorry. DM me, mention me on Twitter. I'll find some sort of metric to dig into and get you some information if that's your thing. If it truly is. But if you've listened to this podcast, you're talking to the guy that was prepared to watch the Florida International game versus Charlotte over, I can't believe I'm saying this out loud, over the Georgia-Alabama game. So that's who I am. Charlotte, you know, had some really awesome pro prospects I was excited for. I like linebackers, so... moving on, more SEC. Yay. Kentucky, Tennessee. Kentucky on the road getting 6.5 points after it opened at six. It's bounced around from 6 to 6.5 to 5.5 in some spots. 49.5 was the opening total. It's 45.5 now. So it's gone down, obviously. Excuse me. Again, I'll be transparent, guys. I don't dig into a lot of SEC football. I don't have a lot of success with it. I don't dig into it. And it just, for some reason, maybe because I grew up in Big 12 country, it doesn't tickle my fancy like it does the rest of the country. Same with Big 10. If you're the biggest and you're the best, you don't have to remind everyone that you are. And I'm not saying that the Big 12 is, because they're obviously not. But if you're the Big 12, or if you're the Big 10, I'm sorry, and you're the SEC, you shouldn't have to act so doggone just better than everyone else. Let your performance speak volumes. It's kind of annoying, to be honest. Another 11 a.m. game. that I was actually pretty excited for at first, but I've backed off now since then. No, not for any particular reason. I just, you know, I just want to see what happens in this game. Honestly, I want to collect some data. That's Texas State taking on Southern Alabama. Texas State +3.5. Over under set at 58. Opened at 56.5. Texas State +120 on the money line. If you want a little sprinkle, like if you want a little action on some on an underdog money line, I would say this is a pretty good spot. I mean, South Alabama allows a lot of big plays. Texas State relies on the big plays. They rely on scoring lots of points, which is why I think the over is inflated. Texas State's team total's probably gone up also over the last few days. I haven't looked, so fact check me on that, please, 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 please. Not going to act like I know everything or I'm always correct on everything, because I'm not. I try to be as close as possible, though. But yeah, Texas State, hey, you know, why not? Throw them in a little parlay somewhere if you need a little filler. I mean, it's +120, so there's a shot. And the metrics are pretty even, you know, look them up. I use teamrankings.com a lot. You can literally put their efficiency stats side by side. And you can see, you know, how even it is. So look at that, you know, look at it. Just do it. Look at us, that Paul Rudd Hot Ones meme. So I talked about the SEC for the 11 a.m. kicks. All right. So this game I've been flipping a couple of times on, and I can't decide on it. So obviously with how I talk about conviction on this show, you need to know that this is a very low confidence pick and I'm not betting on it. I actually pulled it from my card. It was on my first looks. It made it to my second glances. But if you read my article on hoop-ball.com, you're going to see that it did not make the final cut. USF versus Temple. Temple just opened their season against Navy last week. They were supposed to start, you know, pretty normal like everyone else, but they couldn't get stuff right. And they did not look that good against Navy. I tried to be cute and contrarian and take the Temple Owls to beat Navy last week. They were favored, actually. So I'm good at picking dogs. I'm not good at picking favorites is what I'm coming to realize. Not that I'm not good at it, but I think I have a better eye for finding good spots for dogs. Mental note said out loud on recording. So, but yeah, this one will be real brief. Temple, USF. Temple -13 at home, over under 53.5. It opened at 52.5. USF was catching 9.5, and it swelled and swelled all the way to 13. This USF team is pretty terrible. I did like 2 minutes of research right before kickoff last Saturday whenever USF was going to play Eastern Carolina. ECU's pretty terrible too. But the amount of drastic differences in metrics and what each team could offer, it was astronomical. So Temple's a better team than ECU. So, yeah. Well, weird game. Like I said, not a lot of conviction. Then we'll talk about some ACC a couple games in a row. Pittsburgh, Miami. I'm going to be real brief for probably the next three or four. Like I said, it's about 2 a.m., but I don't want to bore you guys also. So if I do, I'm sorry. Kind of, not really. I don't know. I'm still deciding on that, guys. Hopefully I don't offend you. But Pittsburgh, Miami. Pittsburgh's getting 13 points on the road, going down to Miami. 47.5 is the over-under. Opened at 51.5, so it's shrunk down 4 points. And I think the market's probably realizing that Pittsburgh and Miami both has, you know, a pretty decent defense. Miami didn't show it because they played Clemson last. They allowed a lot of points to Louisville, which, but, you know, they did what they should have done against Florida State. Pittsburgh just lost, was upset by NC State. They were 14-point favorites. They lost by a point, 30-29. Then the next week, they were 6.5-point favorites going on the road to Boston College. Lost to them by a point. So what I'm drawing the conclusion on is that Pittsburgh is not that good of a team when they are favored to cover. So as a favorite, the only team that Pittsburgh's covered against was Austin Peay. They won 55-0, cupcake game. But Pittsburgh as a dog might be a little more interesting. I recently put a tweet out about an hour or two ago, and I'm not sure. Do I take the 13.5 with Pittsburgh? So, since I don't have any real conviction, I'm not going to expect you to follow me within that dark realm. So, do it that way you will. Clemson, Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech proved me wrong. I was all over Louisville last week. So obviously I was wrong. That quarterback that they have is dynamic. Malachi Carter at wide receiver, nice 6'3" frame. Fact check me again, guys. But he's very long. He's athletic. He's physical. And he will moss you. He will moss you. And it's not that's an understatement. The kid is good. He's got a great route tree. He's got a freshman quarterback throwing it to him, but this freshman quarterback, this is why I'm the next two or three Georgia Tech games, I'm not going to probably bet on, just because I want to see some data collective points for this freshman quarterback and this Georgia Tech offense. So with that being said, Clemson, huge favorite, -27.5. Over under 64.5. It opened at 59. Weird line. Clemson's still the number one team. They're going to win the national championship. Navy, East Carolina University. Navy opened at a -1.5-point favorite. It swelled up to 3 points. Over under 55.5. It's gone down from the 61. East Carolina at home getting 3 points against this Navy team who has been so wishy washy. I bet against them last week. They shot me in the foot. I bet on them week one. They shot me in the kneecap. So this is a pass game. Moving on to our next little handful of 11 o'clock games. Actually, that was the last one. I forgot a game that was in the postponed area, and that was Oklahoma State Baylor. How could I? I'm a Pokes fan. Go Pokes. But whoops. ULM, Troy. University of Louisiana, Monroe. Okay, so you wouldn't think it because ULM's 0-5, but they actually have the top passing quarterback as far as yards, and I believe it's completion percentage, probably touchdowns in the Sun Belt Conference, because they're always playing from behind. They have to throw the ball a lot. He's also, I think it's top 5 in passing yards in the country. This Colby Suits, I think he's a sophomore or junior. I can't remember. So again, fact check me, please, guys or gals, whoever's listening to this. I don't know. I can't see y'all. I should have y'all check in every time you listen to an episode. ULM Troy. Yeah, I mean, Troy's got a great passing offense. ULM's 0-5 for a reason. They allow a lot of points, a lot of yards. They have Colby Sweats, those, or Sweat Suits, Man, I sound like Nelly. Sweatsuit. You ever listen to that album? So probably the over. That's all I really got to say about that. I know, real exciting. I know you're really yearning for that Troy breakdown. And that is at noon, Central Standard. Because like I said, that's the only time zone that matters. So let's get into some of these 12:30 games. Couple of these games I'm talking about next are in my article. They are some of the games that I really am looking forward to this week. First of all, the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers going on the road to UAB, University of Alabama Birmingham. The Blazers are 13.5 point favorites, opened at minus 12 to the Blazers. It swelled up. My number is 16. But the Blazers are protecting a 20-plus game home-winning streak. Bryson Lucero, he's made three straight starts for the Blazers after Tyler Johnson III went out with a shoulder injury. He's filled in completely nicely. Like the kid looks poised. I like him in this offense. He's looking to bounce back after a three-touchdown, three-interception game versus UTSA. They got the win, which they should have because they're the better team. But UTSA, I've talked about them on the podcast and picked them a couple times. They just actually held BYU to their lowest point total last week. So UTSA, don't sleep on their defensive unit. There are a lot of unanswered and unasked questions for the Hilltoppers at the quarterback position. They came into this game with the 73rd ranked offense out of 76 teams with 289.8 yards per game. UAB has a lot of depth as well as returning starters in the front seven. Running back group has four heads in that attack mode monster backfield. And then not to mention, you got a guy like Spencer Brown behind that offensive line. Spencer Brown's the fourth leading rusher in the nation. Western Kentucky's allowed eight sacks, even though they return some of the most deepest experience and starting numbers and combined starts on their offensive line for the Conference USA. But that same UAB offensive line's only allowed two sacks. After two bye weeks, I'm looking, because of COVID, you know, they had their games postponed and all that. I'm looking for the UAB run game and offensive line, that unit to be in perfect harmony. And with that being said, look for UAB to control the game. UAB minus 13.5 is my bet. I'll take the swelling. I don't care. Army at UTSA. I put a tweet out last week. I watched Army only put 14 points up against the Citadel. And then I was watching UTSA dang near, you know, win outright against BYU last week. They went, you know, six defensive possessions in a row of just doing what they needed to against BYU, who, by the way, won against Houston tonight. And then the other college football game on Friday night featured a ranked SMU team that had to fight and claw to win against Tulane. By the way, went 2-0 on my Friday night picks. I took Tulane plus 6.5. Tulane and SMU over 67.5. So, good start to the weekend. Went 1-2-1 in the Georgia State picks. I loaded heavy on the Panthers. So, that whatever, sure. Took the money line at plus 140, and then I also took the plus 3.5, which that didn't happen because they didn't cover. But I also took them to win the first half, which that pushed at plus 110. I took them to score over their first half team total of 16.5, and that won. And then I went 2-0 with the Chanticleers picks, them against the spread, and them on the money line. So this week of college football is getting off to a pretty good start, guys. I like it. I do. Army UTSA. UTSA is getting 8 points at home. talked about the number of points that the Golden Knights scored against the Citadel. 14. It's not a lot of points at all. A lot of my insight on this game is coming from the gut and the eye test. I saw UTSA perform very well versus BYU last week. I saw Army only muster 14 points against Citadel. My gut says that the Roadrunners will offer a vast amount of resistance versus Army. Now, UTSA was the best team defensively that BYU faced, and they were held to only 27 points, the Cougars were. They were also uber competitive, the Roadrunners, versus UAB, which we just, you know, covered. I saw the total drop, and that made me realize that the market saw these two defenses of what they were. Army has an elite defensive unit. Don't get me wrong. That's the part that I'm scared about with this. But they have a opposite elite offensive unit, and they're going against this tough UTSA defense. UTSA only let UAB score 21 points. UTSA held that fourth-ranked leading rusher in the country to not that much. He might have got his, but he wasn't running wild on him. And then, you know, last things last, I'm trusting my gut like my pops told me to. You know, my pops always tells me to trust my gut. So let's go Roadrunners. They're getting 8 points, but I locked them in at first looks, so I'm going to bet UTSA plus 7. I'm not going to cheat. I'm going to take the newest line because it's bigger and whatnot. No, I locked them in at plus 7. They're at plus 8 now, so go ahead and get those if you want, guys. That's how I feel about that. Moving on. We talked about Army, UTSA, Western Kentucky, and UAB. Let's roll on into some more 12:30 games, if there are any. There are not. So let me get into the 1 o'clock slate, 1:30. All right, so 1:30, Louisville, Notre Dame, real short. I have the over 64 in this game. It opened at 63.5. Right now it's at 62 because of the 20-mile-per-hour wind. However, Notre Dame can be dynamic as hell on the ground with Ian Book maybe rushing for 100 yards. Louisville, they're going to score 20, I think. But Notre Dame can score a good 40 to 45. So give me over 64. Duke, NC State, 2:30 kickoff. So I might be getting ahead of myself. Let me talk about another one of these 1:30 games. There are no more 1:30 games. Wow, college football is weird. All right, so Duke, NC State. Give me NC State minus 4. Going to be real nice and easy with that one, guys. It's at 4.5 right now. So give me the 4. Another 2:30 game. Central Standard Time, like I said, because my time zone is the only one that matters. Y'all's does not. Central Florida, Memphis. No betting angle on this because Memphis is still playing catch up with their total games of the year. They're down a game due to COVID. They're trying to figure out the scheduling. This is going to be a fun game. UCF and Memphis. This is an American Athletic Conference game, and over under is at 75. Lots of points implied. Close spread, minus 2.5 for UCF going on the road. So maybe, you know, if I got to give you something, maybe take Memphis plus 1:30 on the money line at home as the dog. They are aggressive, that Memphis team. They play some pretty good defense out there. Another real short segment here. Mississippi or Ole Miss versus Arkansas, over under 76.5. Oh, yeah, they play defense in the SEC. Got a total at 76.5 in the freaking SEC. And all these SEC guys want to sit here and talk, they play the best defense. No, look up the top 5, top 10 total defense, scoring defense numbers, and then come talk to me about how the Big 12 has 3 schools in the top 10. SEC, come on, 76.5. I'm not even going to talk about this game. Jesus. Eastern Kentucky, Okay, I'm sorry. So Eastern Kentucky and Troy are playing this weekend. I talked about Troy a little earlier. It looks like there is a scheduling change that I just kind of saw right here in front of me. So Eastern Kentucky, Troy. Guys, we're going to glance over that one. My laptop's getting low on battery. Next game, we will discuss, is going to be Texas A&M, Mississippi State. So here comes TAMU. -5 point favorites on the road, over under 55 and a half. It was 54 and a half, so it's gone up a point. Opened at 4 for TAMU. No true opinion. You know, I'm sorry. I can't give you a full-on breakdown of every single game. But again, if there is a specific game that you don't get the breakdown that you want, talk to me. Ask for it. I will do it. You know, I really will. I will give you some sort of number for something. But for me, what this is me developing my card, my conviction, and it's me finding my value. So if I don't break a game down initially, and it's not in any of my articles or whatever, it doesn't mean I haven't looked at it. I look at every game. I try to find value and conviction in every game, but you're not gonna. That's not the way it works, and that's not what you should force. Let's wrap the college slate up a little bit here real quickly. UMass playing their first game after coming back and saying that they're going to go ahead and play football. They're an independent. They're playing Georgia Southern. Right now they're getting 31 points, over under 62. I'm good there. Let's move on. UNT, Middle Tennessee State. I'm going to be real brief and real easy on this one for you guys. Okay. So here's the thing. Middle Tennessee State is at home in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Getting 6 points, or not getting, laying 6 points. Over under 72, opened at 67 and a half. And then, oh man, this North Texas team hurts my head thinking about them. First, I'm going to start by saying that the Blue Raiders of Middle Tennessee State are potentially going to be without two offensive line starters. Just saying. But now, next, one team is allowing 51 points per game, and the other team is allowing 11 and a half. This is going to be short, like I said. Middle Tennessee State's quarterback, he's got a 62.98 completion percentage. They score on 85% of their red zone trips. UNT gives up 94% opponent red zone scoring. Middle Tennessee State has 27 tackles for loss. North Texas can't block a cold right now. So I'm looking for the Mean Green to probably allow the Blue Raiders to have 5 or so, at least, tackle for losses, if not 5 sacks alone. Middle Tennessee State -6 at home against a North Texas team who is just rank. Took Charlotte last week -3 against North Texas, and Charlotte won by, I think, 20. Marshall, Louisiana Tech. Marshall. That was supposed to be a Brady Bunch reference. Don't know if any of you are old enough for that. I barely am. I'm only 28, so no excuse for you. If I know, you should know. Marshall actually has one of the best defensive units in the whole country. This Louisiana Tech team is 3-1. They shouldn't be, is all I'm saying. This is going to be a fun Conference USA game. Hopefully Marshall moves to 4-0. I like them. They're a fun team. We are Marshall, you know. Who was that? That was Matthew McConaughey. I'm going to backtrack a little to 3 p.m. I skipped over just regular Virginia. UVA. U's and W's look about the same at 3 a.m. especially after one or two Michelob Ultras and a Modelo, maybe. West Virginia on the road going on to take on Wake Forest. It opened at a pick. It got all the way up to UVA -3. It's back down to -1.5, over under 57.5. It was 63.5. And I think what you're seeing with the spread, it's adjusting with the total. The total comes down, so the spread comes down. Virginia's a 7-point better team than West Virginia. They have that defensive unit. They're nuts. Real brief, North Carolina versus Florida State. UNC -13.5. Florida State's terrible. Last time they were a 10-plus point underdog at home, they got blown out 55 or 59 to 10 versus Clemson. I can't remember. Boston College, Virginia Tech. I like the 10.5 with Boston College. I think they are being skewed by the market. Virginia Tech, they're probably, you know, getting a little love because they almost came back on North Carolina after being down like 25 or whatever last week. Lastly, I'm going to finish it off with a wonderful SEC game. Georgia, Bama. I'm just going to go ahead and take Georgia on the money line. You know, I think that they go ahead and get it. I got +160. So let's roll with that. I mean, we're looking for value and we're looking for conviction. I have a fair amount of conviction in the Bulldogs being able to beat Bama. But, you know, the SEC wants to say that they claim defense and all this, but there's only one school playing freaking defense in that conference, and that's Georgia. How many points did Alabama just give up to Ole Miss? How many points did they give up to Texas A&M the week before that? All right, I'm done with the SEC. I'm going to talk some pro football. But before we do, I have to talk about mybookie.ag because they are phenomenal. They are such a great sponsor for us, and we love them here. I hope they love us. I hope it's mutual. I think it is. I know it is, actually. But we have a great promo code. If you go and sign up, your initial deposit is going to get 100% match. On top of that, you're going to get futures money to use. So if you have a MLB World Series bet you're thinking about, you're going to be able to have a $10 free play on that to use. And then bet on some World Series stuff, some fun props, all that stuff. Mybookie.ag. Bet, you win, you get paid. Great customer service, I got to say. Email or call. You don't ever go on hold when you call them. It's crazy. So now let's talk about this NFL slate and we will get rolling into the professionals. So yeah, let's get rolling on this NFL slate. I'm going to be pretty brief for most of it because this is such a weird card for this Sunday, which is what makes the NFL such a monster to handicap. And kudos to Ira for being so good at it. Again, Ira is at Ira Silver Magic. He's a great part of this. You know, he's my better half in this Today in Sports Betting endeavor. So probably the game I have the most confidence in, Cincinnati +8. It's actually come down to 7.5. Over-under is at 46. It hasn't really moved. They're on the road against the Colts. Phillip Rivers is washed. He's old. I even like a little Cincinnati sprinkle on the money line. I mean, it's +285. It was 300. You know, Joe Burrow doing the young quarterback thing and seeing the old quarterback out of the league, just chauffeuring him right on out. Cleveland, Pittsburgh. Cleveland is getting 3.5 points on the road. Over-under's at 51. It was at 50 at the opening bell. I'm going to go ahead and go under 51. If you listen to the show that I did with John Ryan, which again, he's at John Ryan Sports One. He's been coming in, doing some great shows with us, giving us some great data. Great, great, great data and numbers. So yeah, give me the under in this game. It's a rivalry game. It's Browns. It's the Steelers. Staying with the noon kickoffs. Detroit, Jacksonville. Detroit is -3. It opened at -2.5. They're on the road going to Jacksonville. Over under 54.5. If anything, I'm just going to go ahead and pick the game here. I think Detroit wins the game. Excuse me. I don't really want to touch anything else. And again, you know, I probably don't have the most in-depth look at NFL games because I play fantasy football pretty deeply, and I don't want to risk jinxing my fantasy team starts and stuff and what I need to happen with my sports betting and my sports betting takes, if that makes any sense. So I apologize, guys, but I'm not just a little stitious. Like, I'm pretty superstitious. So you got to deal with it from time to time, y'all. But that just means I'm not going to force a bet on you. I'm not going to just go and throw something out with every game because it's what I should probably do or whatever the standard is. I like my stuff. I like my work. I take pride in it. So we're going to do it together and we're going to profit together and, you know, really hope that we grow together as well, guys. So Houston, Tennessee, another divisional game. Tennessee at home getting, or I'm sorry, laying -3.5 points. 53.5 is the over-under. It's come down from the 55 at the opening bell. This is a divisional game. Second game without Bill O'Brien, or as we call him here, Bob. For the Houston Texans, Deshaun Watson, I think you saw, had a little bit more freedom. But Tennessee, look what they just did against the Buffalo Bills without, you know, practicing for like 12 days. A huge part of me wants to say that Tennessee gets to 5-0 right here and that they cover. But I'm staying away from this game. I have no idea, guys, just to be completely frank. Just to be frank. If anything, I'm trying to find something. I'm really trying, guys. I don't like forcing stuff. It just, icky. All right. I'm seeing something that maybe I like. All right, so Houston's team total for the first half right now is at 11.5. You're telling me that with all the defensive negative regression that the Titans have had and all the points that they've allowed, that Houston can't score 2 touchdowns or a touchdown and 2 field goals and a half of football with Deshaun Watson and a healthy receiving core? All right, whatever. Over 11.5 Texans first half team total. Literally just locked it in on the Action Network as I walked through that with you guys. I didn't like anything on that game until I checked that. So, and again, guys, Action Network is not an affiliate of ours. It's just a wonderful tool that I use and I operate on. You can follow me, you can fade me on it or whatever, but TallySight is our affiliate that I use for my bet tracking also. Like I said at the top of the show, top 10 in all of college football versus, you know, another almost 300 other competitors and professionals from ESPN to SB Nation to Bleacher Report to Locked On. It's a huge honor just to be in there with those guys is all I'm saying. And I honestly can't believe I'm top 10. So diligence, y'all. conviction and value. And, you know, picking Coastal Carolina as a +250 money line favorite, that'll do it. That pick alone probably slides me 6 or 7 spots, to be just completely frank, guys. Baltimore, Philly, I heard Colin Cowherd say that this could be the blowout of the weekend, like a 40-20 game. Baltimore on the road, -9.5-point favorites going to Philly. Philly's actually allowing a small crowd in this game. So if you believe in crowd, you know, participation having a detriment or a positive influence on games, then this is yours. But 46.5 has come down from the 48.5. So here's what I'm seeing. Philly's getting more points from the opening line. It was 7. They're getting 9.5 now. And the totals come down 2 points. The totals come down 2 points. Philly's gained 2 points on the spread. To me, that makes me want to back Philly. It does. Philly just lost another offensive lineman, though. I feel like I've said that every episode, but they did. They just lost another guard. So they're down 4 starting offensive linemen this year. It wouldn't shock me if Baltimore won by 12. But 9.5-point home dogs, I kind of want to roll with it. I kind of do. Not an official play yet, guys. I gotta finish this Michelob Ultra over here first before I do that. Denver, New England. I'm not going to talk about this game, guys, because A, it's kind of pissing me off with how I'm not talking about this game. There's been more positive COVID cases with the Patriots, so skip. Respectfully, thank you. Atlanta, Minnesota. Boy, oh boy. +4 for Atlanta. Going on the road. Over under 54. Was 56 at opening bell. Dan Quinn's no longer the coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Should have happened 1 year and 8 months ago. Teams who change head coaches in the middle of the season do not typically have good ATS success the following week. I think it's about a 37% hit. Minnesota's starting to click. They made Seattle work for it last Sunday night, and it took every second of Russell Wilson. So, Minnesota, -4. That's where I'm leaning, and I feel dirty saying it. Ooh, goodness. Ooh. Oh. Actually, the more I look at it, I kind of like it a little bit. I kind of do. Ooh. 76% of the money's on Minnesota, 67% of the bet percentage. Boy, oh boy. I think Todd Gurley has a big game. I mean, you know, that's about it. Atlanta is terrible against the tight ends, so if you're looking for some DFS or anytime touchdown scorers, Kevin Rudolph, Irv Smith, anytime touchdown scorers, I'm sure they'll be right around like +160, +200. Just throwing those little dart throws out there, little chicken pizza parlay money, sandwich money, PB&J money, whatever it is, fresh fruit money. I don't know. I don't know your dietary intake, guys and gals. Like I said, y'all aren't in front of me. I just need bios on each and every one of y'all. Chicago and Carolina. This game, as a football fan, I'm going to really enjoy. Teddy Bridgewater, Mike Davis, quote-unquote revenge game. Carolina -1. Opened at Chicago +3, over under 44.5. And This is a really tight line right here, guys. This one right here is a very tight line. Carolina's going to win at home. Matt Rhule. He's a pretty good coach, and I think we're going to start to see that. Not to mention Teddy Bridgewater is a starting quarterback against the spread, covers at like a 73-74% clip or something like that. I think it's like 73.2. So yeah, there's that. Carolina. I should have taken their team wins over at the beginning of the year. But instead I took Atlanta's. Yeah. Ask me how that's going. Oops. All right. Washington, New York football Giants. Giants will probably get their first win of the season here. They're 0-5. They're minus. That's so funny. They are 0-5 and they're a -3 point favorite. It opened at 3.5. So literally this defeated team, this 0-5 team, they're a favorite in a game. That says something about Vegas right there. It just how tricky this stuff can be. Over under 43. Don't watch this game. Don't bet on it. I'm glad I don't have any fantasy players playing for either team. So, yeah. Pass game for me, because that's just yuck. All right, we're going to go a little bit of warp speed here. 305 Jets, Dolphins. Do we need to talk about the Jets? I'm not saying I'm taking the Dolphins to cover the 9.5 point spread, but come on now. Fire Adam Gase. Like, seriously, this is just terrible. I could be as effective as he is as the freaking head coach of the New York Jets. Hyperbole, yes, but I know that either me or someone in my close group of, you know, friends, circle, sports people, you people, followers, listeners, someone could do better than Adam Gase. I just, this guy, again, this guy pisses me off, kind of. How can you be so bad at your job and still rake in millions? I don't know. Ugh. I guess I'm in my feelings tonight, y'all. I'm sorry. Green Bay, Tampa Bay, the Battle of the Bays. I was listening to the Fantasy Footballers podcast, the Foot Clan. They were previewing this game, and they made a funny joke. It was more of a dad joke, but it was funny. They said, I wonder if Michael's going to be there. Talking about Michael Bay, the director of Transformers and other stuff with lots of explosions. And so there could be lots of explosions in this game. Firepower, that is. But probably not, because Green Bay has a pretty dang good pass rush. Tampa Bay has a staunch run defense. They also have some great secondary pieces. This line was weird. Green Bay opened as a +3 point dog. It's down to Green Bay -1. Over under 55.5. It's gone up from the 52. You got Tampa Bay. You got Tom Brady at home as a dog. Give me Green Bay -1. Green Bay is going to win. I got a futures ticket for them to win the division. and I need this to happen because my Tampa Bay Rays futures ticket, I don't even want to talk about that freaking thing right now. Game 7 tomorrow. Not sure what happened in that series. I did have the Rays futures ticket, but I think it was a week ago where I said, you know, 2020, Houston Astros, Los Angeles Dodgers, World Series, lock it in. So we're going to need a couple of Game 7 miracles to happen for that to concur and occur. Let's talk about the Chiefs and the Bills. Chiefs -4.5 right now. It was -3, so it swelled. Real quick, Patrick Mahomes coming off of a loss, playing primetime on Monday night or Monday afternoon, whatever you want to call it. If you're on the West Coast, you're going to get to watch football on Monday at like 2 in the afternoon, and I'm really jealous. Let me come stay with you guys for like, you know, Monday, just so I can like watch this game and then just like dip out. I'll eat all your food, drink all your beer, and you're truly. And then you'll just be like, oh, what the hell happened? Chiefs-Bills. Chiefs -4.5. I like it. Patrick Mahomes, after a loss, really good against the spread. And then you take that after a loss and you put him on primetime or... I guess I don't know if this is prime time because it's 4 p.m. It's kind of like a Monday night game, but I don't know. Like, do you consider it prime time? Nonetheless, Patrick Mahomes coming off of a loss and his head coach, Andy Reid, coming off of a loss. Pretty good. The next game. I totally skimmed over the Sunday night game because I think it's kind of just, like I said earlier in the week at the first looks with Ira, it's a fish market of the week. You got the Rams -3 on the road. Niners just got shellacked by the Dolphins. Don't be surprised if the Rams underperform and the Niners somehow win this game. It's a divisional game. Over-under is 51.5. It's actually gone up 2.5 points from the 49 number. The 3 number for the line has not moved really. And then it's the final countdown. I'm kidding. It's the final game though. We're going to talk about the final game on the slate. You've stuck it out this long with me, listening to my bad jokes, my emotional rants. So you might as well listen to me talk about this next game. Arizona Cardinals going on the road, taking on the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys are getting a point. Arizona opened as a +3 point underdog. Now they're the 1-point favorite. Over-under is 55. It's gone up to 52. So what I'm seeing right here is they're thinking that Arizona is going to score more points. They're adjusting Arizona's team total because the total rose and then Arizona's, you know, to cover or to win rose, you know, on the spread, which is peculiar to me because Leighton Vander Esch is probably coming back for the Cowboys this week. I mean, they said that like this was the week that they were targeting for him to come back. This is the week they wanted him back. He didn't play last week, even though he probably could have. So I don't understand this line movement, to be honest. And I like Dallas at even money. I got them at +100. Andy Dalton, he has thrown more touchdown passes than Dak Prescott. He's won more games than Dak Prescott. He's gone to the playoffs more than Dak Prescott. Granted, he hasn't won any of those games, but chalk that up to coaching and Vontaze Burfict with those dirty hits late in the game when they were up by like 10 or 12 points with 5 minutes left, specifically against the Steelers. Andy Dalton's a winning quarterback. He's got more wins than Dak Prescott. You know, I feel like I'm slandering Dak, which is not what I'm doing, because what he just went through was completely gruesome. I suffered definitely not an injury of that magnitude, but I went through a very hellacious basketball injury back in sophomore year of high school. Not fun, would not want to relive it, would not want to extend the pain threshold of what Dak went through. So again, I'm just pointing out that Andy Dalton is still an NFL quarterback. That's all I'm pointing out. So I think that Dallas can get it done. They're at home. It's going to be an emotional game, especially after what happened with Dak last week. Arizona's down Chandler Jones. He tore his bicep. That's going to be huge. They're going to have to figure out who they have fill that spot. So with that being said, that is the last NFL game that I am going to discuss, because that's the last one on the slate. We talked some college ball. I let you know what games were postponed. Let you know my favorite bets, told you about the article that's up that you can go read. If you don't want to listen to this podcast, you can just go read it, get a summarized version. And then also, again, I need you to go follow me on Twitter at DALE007 or at Hootball Gaming. That's where you're going to find most of my work, most of the stuff that I talk about, the banter, the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever you want to call it. And then, you know, don't forget the other guys, John Ryan Sports One and Ira Silver Magic, both on Twitter. They held it down today when I couldn't earlier. Great, great data from John. Great, great data. Some betting systems that he's had in place since the early 90s. Just some really awesome historical numbers, some really good breakdowns. So keep those in mind. Keep him in mind. And, you know, with that being said, guys, again, this is another weekend edition. So chop it up throughout the weekend the way you want. It was a little longer. You can listen to college on Saturday. You can listen to, you know, professional on Sunday. And then you got the football episode from Ira and John from Friday afternoon to listen to also. I guarantee that we unpack some winners. Our track record probably suggests that. So with that being said, Hootballers, I'm going to go ahead and sign off. Going to get up in a few hours and do some more prep on college football. And then enjoy it. Because, like I said at the top of the show, at least we have college football. At least we have college football. And you got to remember that. Again, manscaped.com. Our presenting sponsor, as well as mybookie.ag. Use promo code HOOPBALL20 over at Manscaped. Get your free shipping and 20% off. Then you go over to mybookie.ag and use promo code HOOPBALL, and you're going to get a deposit match and a fat, fat, fat deposit match at that. So once again, folks, I'm going to go ahead and bid you adieu. I appreciate you listening. I love this. I love the growth. I love the interaction. Let me know the do's and the don'ts and the likes and the dislikes. I can take it all. I have thick skin. So, again, folks, thank you so much. Thank you for letting me talk to you. Thank you for listening. And for those who are listening, I am sending you all of my good vibes and all of my good energies. Thank you so much, folks. Again, thank you, thank you, thank you. We'll talk to you soon. You take care and have a wonderful money-winning weekend. Good luck.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.